Hello everyone, this is Incredible Fencing Podcast. For more information, you can visit my website, subscribe to my YouTube channel or Instagram page. Hey everyone, this is Incredible Fencing Podcast, episode 6. And today, I invited one of my friends in Shanghai to have some conversation about fencing. My friend's name is Giacomo Fanizza. He is Italian and he came to Shanghai more than 2 years ago, and he was working in one of the fencing clubs here. And this year he opened his own club in Shanghai, which is called Academia Shanghai. This is the first Italian club in China. So of course Giacomo has very long path in fencing, and I'm gonna ask him several questions about fencing, about how he does his job and what he think about modern fencing and about his own fencing life, and some funny story probably, and in generally who knows where we can go in case of our conversation, because I think two fencers and two fencing coaches every time has to say something, right? So we never know. So anyway, it's gonna be phone call. We're gonna make a phone call. So of course, internet is very good these times, but sometimes we still have some interruptions. So be prepared if there is gonna be some missed word, so you have to listen and pay attention to the content, right? So you can understand the general meaning of everything. Okay, so here we go. And the next one is gonna be my conversation with Giacomo Fanizza. Hello, Giacomo. How are you?
Hello, Taras. I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for this call.
Yeah, basically you are one of the first guests in this podcast. It's gonna be episode number 6, and interview. We wasn't very sure whether we need to upload our interview. So basically, you are the first guest.
Oh, thank you. This is a great honor for me. It's a great honor for me. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for agreeing to participate. So I prepared some questions for you. So we both work in Shanghai, and hopefully we enjoy it so far. So how do you feel?
Yes.
How do you feel? Do you like your lifestyle in Shanghai? Say about that.
Well, absolutely. I can say that Shanghai is an amazing, safe town. Probably is the most safe town that I ever did visit in my life. And this gives me this positive feeling. There is no criminality at all.
Okay. Yeah, it's very safe, actually.
I can tell you that anyway, I have a simple life because probably it is what I want. And like, I think the most of fencing coaches, I spend the biggest part of my day dedicating time to fencing, because I really love my job, and I try to save energies to be focused on what I did during my day and what I have to do for the day after.
Okay, so you basically focus more on fencing than you than on some attractions, right? So you focus more on professional.
Yes, absolutely. Because anyway, fencing takes a lot of time and dedication to our students. Of course, I have a few friends also, more related probably to the international community.
Yeah.
And one of these is you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we meet not that often, but I think consistently, right? Because we live quite far.
Yeah, I think that anyway, the friendship is not related to the time that people are spending together, but to the quality and the intensity of time that we dedicate to that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, but I suppose you have not much free time, because you also you are engaged in your club, because basically now you are not just a coach, right? You are also a coach, and you also you need to administrate your club. You need to do many fencing related and administrating work now, except coaching.
Yes, you are itself. Yes, you're totally right. In August, when I decided to my own club, this activity takes really a lot of time, because probably, you know, like you said, I face with many aspects of the club that is not only teaching, but is to think about the administration, to think public relation, promotional materials, and all aspects that are around any sport company.
Yeah, that is really difficult. I don't know.
It's a kind of mission, probably.
Yeah, basically you need to organize a lot. Yeah, so and of course this year it's maybe even harder. Yeah, because it's like we all know the lockdowns and all the regulations.
There are many difficulties.
Yeah, so I think like basically in our company where I work, we also kind of like all the time we are prepared to go back online, and in case it's gonna be some outbreaks, you know, we are prepared to go online immediately, go to Zoom, Microsoft. Yeah, it's very, very, very strange times, I think. Yeah.
In this period, we have this that can help anyway for the online activities, even if I don't think it's really related to fencing, the online Zoom classes, but it's more to keep at least some condition for the body or the athletes, or to study some theory fencing related.
Yeah, all right.
To teach fencing online, it's a bit complicated.
Yeah, it's not easy. From another hand, I found this time I found some benefits in this online, because even for me as for coach, as soon as we live in Shanghai in China, there are not many some professional development like in case of some fencing. Yeah, because all the coaching seminars, like some lectures, they are in Europe and US. So in case of the lockdowns everywhere, I think I have access to many online courses now. So I did some physical education course and many courses you can access.
Yeah, there are parts, like what I said about the theory about around the sport and fencing, that this period, I mean, the online courses can absolutely help, because today we have the technology that can support this exchange of information and knowledge.
Absolutely. All right. So that was our first question.
Yes.
You told about your lifestyle in Shanghai. And so second question, basically about your fencing career. At what age you started to do fencing? And when you started to do fencing?
Well, yeah. It was pretty... It was pretty long time ago. Actually, I started fencing in 1984. It means that I was eight and a half years old. And I started just as a... Because one of my cousins got a promotional flyer, and he didn't want to go alone.
Okay.
So he asked me to join this trial lesson with him. And well, I did enter in the fencing hall, and I never left.
Okay. So basically, you were very young. You were eight and a half. So what about
your... Yes, eight and a half, yes.
So you, when you came first time to fencing club, like how your coach, basically, how did you realize it's going to be your passion for the rest of your life, basically? Yeah,
so probably I did not realize in that moment. I just was having fun, because my coaches there were running the lesson in some way that was really interesting for me, for a kid of that age. Mm-hmm. And probably what got more interest was that I was succeeding in the exercise that they were proposing to me to do. So when you have a positive feedback anyway, you get more interest.
Okay, so you had some success during some exercises and games, yeah? And
yes, it's correct.
That was encouraging you to continue. Yeah, I think for me it's basically similar when I did fencing as well. Did you play many games at the beginning?
Yes, there was part of games and physical exercise, interacting with kids. The ambient with other kids was fine. It was a friendly atmosphere, so I was feeling safe in that place. I was feeling almost at home.
So that was your second home, basically.
Yes, and this is what I'm trying to do in now in my own club. Create a nice family atmosphere based more on the personal interaction and not on the competitive aspects.
Okay, yeah, I think it's also important. And when did you decide to go to competition, basically? So you came when you were 8 years old?
Yes, my first competition was after 1 year I was practicing fencing. I did not decide. Actually, coaches were deciding when kids were ready for competition. But in that age, anyway, the tendency of coaches were to give more importance to create a good basic knowledge before to approach competitions.
Yeah.
That somehow could be some important event for a kid in a kid life. In fact, I still remember that day. It was a local tournament, and actually I won it.
Wow, that is a great result, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it started that way.
So basically, you were training already very seriously, right? At the beginning. So
yes, I was training 3 times per week.
Okay.
A few hours each training, each session, but first competition, it was only after 1 year when I was able to make all footwork properly, to stay on guard in balanced way, to know the basic parry and basic moves for fencing.
Okay, so I think it was you were very happy when you win even you went actually to your first competition, you won immediately.
Great emotion. Great emotion, yes.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing. Yeah. All right. So you were doing fencing 1 year, so without any competitions. Yeah. So then when you actually became a little bit stronger, yeah. So basically, you were ready to go to competition. So your coach let you go.
Yes. When exactly. When my coach saw that, my knowledge for age offensive was enough to face a tournament, then he decided and suggested me to go to the tournament, and of course I wanted to go, and from there started my career probably as athlete.
All right, I think, what do you think for the kids in this modern time, what do you think when they need to start competing in generally? Like, if you can...
Today it's a bit different because we live in the type of generation and the approach is much faster. But I still believe that one of the job of coaches is not to implement the competitive aspect, but to create the good basis and the didactical that can create, I told you that can create this basis for later for the fencing, because competition anyway can be one important event, and if kids they have a bad memories, they will keep this memory forever probably.
Yeah, so first competition and the memory for the entire life, right? So
yeah.
Okay, so I think it's also a very important thing to find
in Italy,
out the time.
And now to go, yes, I was sorry. In Italy, for example, I take Italy as example. Before of 11 years old, there are not any competitions, exactly to don't create these bad memories and the bad memories of experience of a young student, a young athlete, can create also the abandon in sport.
Yeah, of course. So basically, if there is not good people, don't get enough positive emotions, they can drop fencing, right? So
yeah, it's not a law, it's not a mandatory, it's not something, it is always like that, but it could happen.
Yeah, it's like a pyramid, actually. Yeah, in generally, so when you are about 10 years old, so there is, like, for example, in your club, it's about, like, how many, like, 20 people, yeah, the same age can be. But then when people get older, some people who probably not very successful, they are quitting fencing, yeah, and for example, for the next age level, there is less and less people. So at the top of the pyramid, it's basically a few people who are strong, right? But other people, they decided to go to do different things, right? Maybe where they can be more successful.
Yes, I think that there are many reasons why people is going to abandon sports. More are connected to their lifestyle, to different kind of obligations, for example, school, and later it will be the job. But mm-hmm. I believe that one of the reasons why people is abandoning sport is because there is too many competitions in the mentality. I mean, this is our job, and also with the support of families, to don't create the stress of the competition, but mm-hmm. we should promote the love of they do for the sport that they practice, for any activities they practice beside the competitive aspect.
Yeah, so they have to love what they do, yeah, and do what they love.
Yes, yes.
Like in the famous quote, love what you do and do what you love.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
yes,
Giacomo.
I totally agree.
All right, Giacomo. So moving to the next question I prepared. So you were athlete, yeah, you were competing at many competitions and many levels.
Yes.
So at some point you decide to go to another side, right? Go to the dark side of fencing and and become a fencing coach, right? So
I think that the dark side is more like before to be fencing coach, I was fencing referee. This is even worse.
This is like evil side, right? Fencing referee.
Yes.
Yeah. So what was
fencing coach?
What triggered you to become a fencing coach?
Yeah, this is probably some hard question for me, but actually I never thought to become a fencing coach, even when I was in that age. Let's say that 16 years ago, my coach, the coach of my hometown, asked me to help him in the club because some other coach was not able to work, and that period in my hometown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I realized how fun it was to stay in contact with young athletes and the beauty to transfer to them my experience and my knowledge of fencing. So I decided to take it more seriously, and I started to study to be a fencing coach. And from that period, I never stopped to learn new informations mm-hmm. and to create my own analysis and methodology of teaching fencing.
All right, so basically you found the fencing coaching is much more interesting than competing yourself, right? At that point.
It's a double aspect. Yes, I mean I like the concept to give to the others my knowledge and my experience and to help them to realize their dreams, because anyway every coach is leaving one part of the motions of each fencer that is competing.
Leaving what one dream, you said, of the
yes. I okay. can in this way I somehow I live more than one dream. I am part of the dreams of all my fencers.
Okay, yeah, this is impressive, very impressive. And
yeah.
Okay. So you have your own fencing club now. This is the first Italian club in China, I think.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. So You have already some number of students who are passionate about fencing. So, like, which what do you think in generally? So, regardless of the student, which relationship you have to establish with your students, and how you communicate, and how close you are with your students, basically. So should you be very close to your students, or should you keep sometimes some distance, like in some matters? Like,
I strictly believe that, the relationship between coach and student must be absolutely intimate and sincere in all aspects.
Okay, okay.
Probably we have to precise point that the coach cannot decide to be the coach of a fencer, mm-hmm. but is the fencer that must believe in that coach to be his own coach. So actually we can't decide who is our students, but is are our students that decide who is their own coach.
All right, so students basically choosing the coach in general.
Yes, because we cannot impose to the students to believe in us, but it's the student that decides if we are the person in whom to believe.
Okay, yeah, I think it's important to believe your coach, right? Coach is generally the person who knows more, like in theory, yeah? More in fencing than the student. So student need to, in case of... performing some actions, you need to believe it's right. I think
it's supposed that the coach is the person that knows more than a student, because he's a teacher. The coach is a teacher. So if that coach is not adequate anymore, the student some moment should even change coach. Of course, if we go deeply in the moments of technique applying, there are, you know, we know very well that in fencing often there is not much time to decide what to do, especially under the stress of competition. Sometimes fencers can be not focused enough. Moment the role of coach is absolutely important, because he has to call immediately the attention of the fencer to the point that he needs to realize with the action needed in that moment.
All right. So at some point when students can lose some attention, it's like basically time of the coach to bring student back to the action, right?
To the reality.
Yeah,
yes.
To the reality. So like keep focused.
And if the student if the student is not trusting, is not fully trusting the coach, probably he will not listen.
Yeah, that happens sometimes, yeah. So So I also had some experience when I had to coach some students who are basically, they didn't train with me, but sometimes I went to competition where I need to help them. So that makes maybe the strip coaching on the competition like harder, yeah, because you don't know the student, right? So it's basically a different thing to advise to student who you work with at your fencing place, and if you don't know the student, it's much harder to do that.
Yes, totally. And it's also this happening also for another aspect that is related more to the communication. And from the coach side, you know, to strip coaching some fencer that you don't work with, you don't know even if the fencer is able to perform the action that in that moment you're asking. And often, you know, we don't have much time to explain what to do. So the language, the communication is absolutely important. And, you know, to optimize time, the fencer should understand the coach just looking at him.
Yeah.
But this is going to be creating time, spending time together.
Yeah, you need to have some chemistry, right, between you and student.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, some connection. All right. Okay, so when you go to competitions, sometimes competitions, I think almost always, competition is very different thing than training, because a lot of stressful moments can happen. Yeah, it's different venue, very crowded place, and sometimes there are very loud environment. In this case, student needs to perform very well because he's got a little bit more pressure than on training, right? So how, what's your coaching advice? How to deal with pre-competition stress and how to perform the best you can do on the competition?
Well, yes, what you said is absolutely correct. That the competition environment the is not the same like in the gym, in the fencing hall, where fencers are training every day, because there are a lot of distractions, a lot of pressure. So the contest is not the same from psychological point of view. The stress sometimes has, you know, can have positive or negative effects. So it is absolutely important to control, and in every aspect of our life is only in fencing. And I can say that there are many mental techniques that could help to face the competition the best way. What I teach to my fencers is not to be worried about the result, about the score. They are to fence trying to perform at the best. Okay. The result is only a consequence of their performance. If they perform good, they have higher chance to win the match. If they perform bad, the chance of losing the match are much higher. So the main focus is just to put their attention on fencing opponent and what they have to do, and not about the consequence.
Okay.
Sometimes some fencer asked me, okay, and what will happen if I don't fence good? Mm-hmm. And my answer is, it is not a problem. There will be another competition and we will work. We will have more time work together to prepare better the next one.
Okay, so it's kind of...
Just think what we do during the lesson and try to have fun. So it's important that the fencer, anyway, in a stress moment, is not feeling alone. Mm-hmm. And has the support of the person that he believes.
All right. So basically, you tell them that result doesn't matter that much. It's only what matters is you fencing well and try to accomplish your task. Yeah. So what you want them to do. So try to accomplish it. Try your best. And then, like, if they fence well, of course they're gonna show the best result as well, right?
Yes, because actually the concept of victory is a strange concept. If we compare, if we analyze the victory in matter of the score, it's pretty simple. But if we the other terms of comparison is ourselves, we can say that anyway any improvement is already a victory.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah. So basically, you're gonna be winner anyway. Yeah. So it all depends on you.
Yes. If they focus in what they have to do and they do their best to fence properly and they perform the actions at the best that they can, they already won.
All right. So basically, that can remove the stress as well, right? So it doesn't matter what.
Yes, because they will think they will focus their attention on the quality of fencing and not on the simple score.
All right. Yeah.
You know very well that sometimes we can get a point with really a bad action or only because our opponent is making a mistake bigger than us, so we get the point. Mm-hmm. But this doesn't mean that action did give any positive victory for ourselves.
All right. Yeah. That makes so much sense about the, like, maybe mindset, right? Competition mindset. You should focus on your
self.
And
correct.
The best opponent is yourself, right? The toughest one. So you have to overcome your fear and, like, your mistakes, in order to get the victory. Okay.
Totally agree.
Okay. So what you usually say to your students, to your fencers, when they are having a bout, like, for example, between 2-3 minutes periods, right? So you have like 1 minute to say something which is supposed to help them to do something better. Maybe you let them change something, or you just encourage them in generally. And also, what you say when like in between of two hits, right? So when somebody maybe did some action, yeah, and your student turning around, going back to on guard line, right? And he looking at you, and you have about 2-3 seconds to tell them something. And what's your advice in this case? What basically you're saying in?
Well, I can tell you all my secrets.
Okay, just tell me something. Generalize.
Okay, I understood your questions, and I think that we have to come back on the previous question where I can't impose them to listen to me, but they are the one who wants to hear something from the coach. So this is related to the mutual trust that sometimes takes a while, like every other type of relationship between people. Let's say that during the match, my indications are pretty short in the way that signals arrives pretty immediately to them. And once again, I use some kind of keywords connected to the daily training. For example, I can say, I don't know, enter on second foot. And only my fans will what actually doesn't mean, because probably from technical point of view doesn't have any meaning. But if the fans is working with me for a while, he knows very well what this sentence could mean.
He knows the meaning immediately because he was
yes
he was hearing to these commands like already before many times, so he already get used to. To your voice as
yes
well,
correct
right?
correct
okay
correct, because in that moment, you know, for example, during the direct elimination between one round and another round where the fencer has only 1 minute of rest, the fencer to breathe, to cool down his body, and to drink, to wipe his sweat, to visualize again what the opponent is doing, finding the solution, and in the meantime listening also the tips of the coach. So actually his brain is going to develop many activities simultaneously, so the coach cannot explain too many details, otherwise the fans will not even receive that type of informations.
Okay, I got it. I know sometimes in my...
I say that the homework must be done at home.
Okay, so it's kind of home, prepared at home stuff, yeah? So basically you're preparing them at your club, and then they already know some signals, right?
Yes, this is happening, every day during the daily trainings. We talk, we use our language, and during the match, or between, like you said, between one hit and the other one, or in the minute of pause, I use only keywords that can connect to a con.
Do you also use any like non-verbal signals? Like I just remember in my memory, like some coaches like told the students, like when you go back. So if I scratch my nose, it means I need to go to attack. if I scratch my ear, it means. All right. No. Okay. That was funny.
I don't use this type of language because it means, okay, at the end the language, it's a code. It's a communication code. So creating a new communication code. Create even more mess in the mind of the fencer, because I mean, they have to remember then scratching the nose means something, touching the ear it means something else. I don't think it's really effective. Actually, it's making their mind even more busy,
making them even more overloaded. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Then I was just. Basically, I don't think many coaches use this. I was just here. Maybe that was some jokes, about it. But anyway,
okay. I did hear also, so I don't think it was really a joke.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So basically, a simple message, which has to work. Yeah. So nothing.
Yes. Yeah. Simple message, keywords, Because one other aspect that can happen in the mind of a fencer, I mean, of everybody, it's called analytic frozen, where too many informations are coming to our brain, and we go in a kind of mental block, or we don't remember anything anymore. So the point is try to make a filter of all informations and just to focalize on what they need in that moment.
All right. So moving to the next question.
Mm-hmm.
So next question is going to be, so in your, during your entire, like already long, career as fencer and as coach, like, can you tell some funny story? Maybe you can, you can remember some funny story about like some occasion and competition or on your, or your refereeing during competition.
Yes, actually, you know, in all these years, there are many stories that can be funny, and when you are in contact with people, you know, people that have funny behavior anyway. But probably one that comes in my mind right now is connected when I was a referee.
Okay.
And was refereeing some young athletes, really young athletes. And one of these athletes start to bend the blade on the strip that is forbidden by the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so I invited him to go to step out of the strip if he won't bend properly his blade.
Okay.
And the kid did look at me and say, okay. He stepped out of the strip, did put his blade on the strip and started to bend again the blade.
Okay.
Hey, my dear kid,
okay,
it's okay that you went out of the strip, but you cannot bend the blade on the strip. And he told me, yes, but you didn't tell me that. You told me only that I cannot bend my blade on the strip.
Okay,
you're right. So walking back,
yeah,
he did step on the mass wire that is isolating the electrical strip, and he did disconnect the wire. So I went down and I did connect again the strip to the scoring machine to isolate the strip.
Yeah, okay.
And I did ask to this kid again, okay, please test the strip, if the strip is working properly or not. And he did look at me again and told me, no, I will not. I said, what? Why you will not? I will not touch the strip with my blade, otherwise you will give me another card.
Yeah, that is a very smart answer, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely smart kid.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, so he basically... He understand your instructions, but he understand a different way.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, that is probably connected all knowledge of fancy rules. That, you know, this is another aspect that every coach should do in every club, and to teach the fancy rules to the fencers, because I think this aspect is a bit missing. Probably because of time, coaches, they don't have much time and explaining all the rules to the fencers, because many in fencing, there are many, really many rules.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that it's impossible to play a game if you don't know the rule of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have to say about this competition, because sometimes when you train, when you practice in, like, not on competition, yeah, just fence. So sometimes people don't use all equipment, for example. They don't use socks, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Or in foil, they don't use mask wire. So in case they go to competition, right, especially young students, for somebody it's fourth or second competition, sometimes they get... some warnings from referee because they never use, for example, mask wire on the training, right? So they even forget to use it in, yes, competition, right? So, or for example, the in China is the rules about the name on the back, right? So some people, When you fence in the club, yeah, you don't know, you don't need name of the bag. But when you go to competition, referee can give you a warning about this, right? Because you don't have a name on your bag. So I think this is another goal of competition to be ready for 100%, like even equipment.
Yes,
everything.
Totally agree. And beside the aspect to create an habit to wear the uniform in its parts and legally, the most important is anyway related to the safety, because the fencing track, you know very well, it's certified to resist to certain type of heat, and normal clothes are not. So it can be really risky to fence without any equipment. In my club, it's absolutely forbidden to fence without socks or to fence with normal pants.
Okay.
So, or even in shorts. Sometimes I saw videos of pictures of people fencing in shorts. Besides, to create a habit, and it's not really safe for the health of our fencers. But still, I believe that the job of coach is also to teach to respect the rules and not improve any kind of bad habit.
Yeah, it's not just a fighting. Yeah, you need to fight, you need to fence, but you need to also follow and respect the rules, right? Develop some behavior. Yeah, because that's what we tell to kids to. Every time you need to salute your opponent, right? Every time you need to shake your hands.
Shake the hand and
yeah, follow all the rules, yeah. So it's very important. So competition, it's like a test for the, not just for physical abilities, but also for your knowledge about fencing, right?
Yes, it's education at 360 degrees. It cannot be related only to the technical elements, how to go in attack or how to go in defense, but fencing is should be complete in all its aspects.
All right. Okay, so moving to the last short question. So in case it's not China, which country would you choose to work and live? Like, what's your I think you have some favorite. You can just tell one or two.
Interesting question.
Yeah.
Interesting question. I don't know. I'm not planning to leave China now. But if I had to choose another country, I'll probably decide for any place where I can continue to give my tribute to develop fencing.
Right. So you can basically, doesn't matter.
No, doesn't matter.
Only where you can feel yourself happy and fulfilled with your... is your goal, right?
Yes, correct. It's correct.
All right. So I think we're coming to the end of our conversation. So do you have anything to add to our talk? Like, maybe you have some message to young fencers or to everybody. You can just say some to everybody who is going to be listening.
Maybe the only stuff, living our reality here in China is still what I can suggest is that every kid that is deciding to practice sport should be his own choice and should have always fun in what he's doing, because we appreciate and we like more, and probably we succeed better if we do what we like. So fencing should not be some kind of imposition, but should be just a choice.
All right. So let the kid more freedom to choose the kind of sport he likes or she,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Absolutely right. So as soon they
Thank
enjoy
you.
And they are happy, so it's the most important, yeah?
Yes, they can be, they are more satisfied with satisfaction. They start their own virtuous circle, and they, it's only positive if they enjoy in what they do.
Okay, Giacomo, thank you for the very nice conversation. That was amazing to hear from you. And thank you
for to hosting me.
No problem.
And I hope your project will have success in next period.
Oh, thank you. That's a new fencing podcast. I just found out this, like, we don't have that many content in the audio. Yeah, we have many YouTube channels about fencing.
Oh, but I like to support this project because you love fencing, and every person that loves fencing and is giving any some tribute to develop fencing must be supported. So you will have always my support.
Yeah, thank you very much, Giacomo. All right, and hope to hear from you soon. And I think it's time to say bye-bye and have a nice day.
Sure. Sure. Thank you. Thank you again. And come to visit us as soon as you can.
Yeah, sure. Sure. All right. So keep in touch. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too. All right, guys. That was our conversation, or we can call it even interview. Does it matter how we call it? I hope that was quite interesting and useful for some people who can listen to this podcast, this incredible fencing podcast. And thank you very much. Thanks to Coach Giacomo Fanizza. And thanks to everyone who will listen to this podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you're not going to miss any further episodes. It's going to be more coaches or maybe fencers. Join us. Join this podcast. And you can also rate this podcast. Hopefully it's going to be 5 stars. But be honest, all right? Even if you have some critical thing to tell, no problem. I think it's also gonna be good. So anyway, so subscribe and rate it. And also, I want to invite you to visit my website. So the address of this website, incrediblefencing.blueberry.net. Okay, or you can just Google Incredible Fencing Podcast or just Incredible Fencing. I'm pretty sure you can find it. Also, I have a YouTube channel where I upload some cool fencing videos sometimes. And I think this is a time to say bye-bye and have a nice day. You were listening to Incredible Fencing Podcast. For more information, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, visit my Instagram page or website.